Welcome back. Last time we learned how the Israelites diagnosed and treated leprosy and how they banished some of the more severe cases from the camp so that they wouldn't infect the others. But now we're going to move on to what they did about the lepers' clothing and such. We're in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 47. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin. Now, the warp and the woof were the two different directions that the threads would run in woven fabric. And that's why it specifies of linen or of woolen, because, you know, that's the kinds of cloth that they wove back then. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be shewed unto the priest. Now, one of the commentaries, the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary, points out that it is well known that the wool of sheep dying of disease, if it had not been shorn from the animal while living, and also skins, if not thoroughly prepared by scouring, are liable to the effects described in this passage. The stains are described as of a greenish or reddish color, according perhaps to the color or nature of the ingredients used in preparing them. For acids convert blue vegetable colors into red, and alkalis change them into green. It appears then that the leprosy, though sometimes inflicted as a miraculous judgment, was a natural disease, which is known in Eastern countries still. Well, yeah. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the 7th day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. Now, here I think fretting means something like malignant. Certainly not benign. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed his color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. I have to think about that for a minute. I guess it's saying if it's not getting any better, it should be burned in the fire, if it's not clearing up. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. So, you know, you're going to cut that part out of the garment, out of the clothes, and continue to wear them, I guess. And you may think, why go to all that trouble? Why not just burn it to start with and not worry about whether you can save part of it or not? And I guess that would be okay if your population was really affluent, like, you know, we are today here in the United States. But apparently good garments had some value to the Israelites, even if they had been somewhat tainted. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean, or to pronounce it unclean. That's the end of chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, this all seems very symbolic rather than medicinal. Which, you know, it might as well be symbolic because the leprosy has already been healed before they ever start killing birds and sprinkling blood and setting birds free. You know, I guess these kinds of actions symbolize the death of the leprosy. You know, the bird dying is there's the leprosy dying. And the ceremonial cleansing with blood and the setting free of the bird, you know, represents the setting free of the former leper. It all seems kind of unnecessary to me and probably to that bird that they killed too. You know, the bird and I, we don't care much for this kind of ceremony. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, a meatless meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And a log is about a half a pint, I think. So, you know, here we go again with the sacrifices. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now, we've run across something like this before when the priests were being consecrated, but I kind of passed over it without comment, probably because I was running short of time, you know, on my self-imposed 30-minute time limit per episode. You got to ask, though, at some point, why just the right ear and the right hand and the right foot? Well, Ellicott's commentary explains it this way. The rite members were chosen for these symbolical acts, as in the case of the consecration of the priest, because they are represented as the strongest and are therefore the most able to execute the will of God. So it's because that for most people, the right side is the strong side, the dominant side. You know, most people are right-handed. And, you know, if you know football, which I don't follow anymore, but I did at one point, most punters and most place kickers are right-footed. Now, I don't know about the right ear. Somebody might need to do a study on that. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. So you can use birds, they're cheaper. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing into the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. In other words, if he's too poor to offer the full offering, and he can only afford the pigeons or the turtle doves. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. So, just as leprosy could infect the clothing of the leper, it could infect his house as well, and they'd have to clear that up before the house would be inhabitable again. And the priest shall come again the 7th day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. Currently, they're not in a city-type environment. They're still in the wilderness, so they don't have houses. They only got tents. So this wouldn't come into effect until they came to the promised land. And he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. So, you know, once again, after the plague is healed, you know, after the leprosy is gone from the house, they still have to do this ritual cleansing, ceremonial cleansing for some reason. I don't quite get it. But maybe the Yahwehians thought that the Israelites wouldn't accept the, you know, the fact that the house was cleansed unless they killed something and sprinkled his blood all around. I don't know. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. Yeah, yeah. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house 7 times. This does nothing. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. And that's the end of chapter 14 and the end of the medical text about how to deal with leprosy, and as well as the magical text on how to convince the Israelites that the cleansing has been effected. And chapter 15, we move on to certain other medical conditions that make you unclean. There'll probably be some symbolic cleansing going on too. We'll see. Chapter 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. Now, The King James Version is kind of vague about what a running issue is, but other translations are a little more blunt. The Christian Standard Bible, for example, says, "When any man has a discharge from his member, he is unclean." And the Contemporary English Version is even more blunt. It says, "Any man with an infected penis is unclean." Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Sherlock. "And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean, and everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean," I wonder how they mean that, "then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue, and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth which hath the issue shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue." Poor birds. Or poor bird, anyway. "And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the even." Now, we're talking nocturnal emissions here, you know, wet dreams. "And every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the even. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the even." And now we've moved on from wet dreams to actually doing it. And since we're carbon-based life forms, every time we do it, it's a carbon emission. Just like the show art for this episode, which is a photograph called Carbon Emissions. I would point out, however, that while the smoke coming from the tall smokestacks, is definitely a carbon emission, or are definitely carbon emissions, the water vapor that's coming from the nuclear cooling tower is definitely not a carbon emission, because it's H2O rather than CO2. And by the way, it is water vapor, not steam. Steam is invisible. "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Now we're talking about when a woman has her period. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. So you weren't supposed to have sex, you know, with a woman who's having her period. You know, that could happen unintentionally, and it wouldn't be so bad. But if you did it on purpose, it was a serious offense. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Now here we're talking about when a woman seems to be having her period, or, you know, is at least spotting when it's not time for her to have her period. And this could be caused by an infection of some sort, you know, like chlamydia or gonorrhea. So, yeah, she'd be pretty unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, she shall take unto her 2 turtles, turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. You know, they really needed a flowchart. No pun intended. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that hath an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith. And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. Well, that's the end of chapter 15, and once again, we've run out of time, or close to it. So we'll pick it back up next time at the start of chapter 16. Until then, keep the faith. Watch out for those nasty emissions, and if you get any on you, be sure and wash it off. And be sure to put your undies in the laundry.